this isn't about algorithmic intensity, AI. Not really. It's not about the idea of artificial intelligence and what it means or anything like that. It's about the fact that recently, image analysis has become pretty good. I've been able to toy around with some of the most modern, publicly accessible image analysis tools, and I've been enjoying it. Uploading something like a slide from what I think is the 1960s, and asking the tool, where do you think this is? What do you think it's of? And when do you think it is? And having it produce a reasonably good analysis, telling me that this style of clothing is from this era, or that the saturation of the colors represents a certain brand of camera and a certain kind of photographic process, well, that's fun. The kind of fun that I get with any toy as I look around and see what they have and what it can do and playing around with it on all sorts of edge cases and weird images that I have in my collection. And all of that is fascinating outside of many of the controversies of having this technology in public hands. I wanted to talk about how image analysis turns out to be one of the end games of what I've been up to all this time. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. When I first decided to put up a bunch of Apple II crack screens on what became artscene.textfiles.com, a collection of artistic aspects of the BBS era, I realized that just having a gallery up of all these frankly wonderful and creative title screens was not going to be enough. The artistry of crack screens on personal computers are all the messages embedded by the cracking group, either ads for bulletin board systems, shouting down other groups as being inferior, declaring their own superiority, and otherwise letting people know that they can thank this group with these members for what's going to happen next. So, when I went through using an emulator and a pile of disk images, and took shot after shot after shot of all of these Apple II cracked programs, I did so wanting to make sure that people could find it without having to browse every single image for people they recognized, including themselves. So, when I put up the Apple II crack screen collection, I personally myself typed in all of the text on every crack screen, who was mentioned, which bulletin boards it was going to tell you to call, what the game was, and so on. And the idea behind this project, which took me days to do, was so that in search engines, people would find their own handle, that they would do an ego search for something they did in their teens or early days, and then suddenly discover the work they did as a cracker sitting somewhere. And then, hopefully, they would contact me. This was before the BBS documentary. This was before all of my other projects that put me in the hands of all of these different and wonderful people and their lives and their history. What I was doing, though, was analyzing these images to pull out information with the idea of it being that much more findable. But the killer in all of it was, of course, typing in those names, those endless handles, those endless bulletin board system lists, having to port them to bbslist.textfiles.com, but then also having them in all the descriptions on the Apple II crack screens. Let's make it clear. It was fun, and it was driven by a sense of spirit and mission and wanting to connect to these people who had come up on the screen of my school computers throughout my teen years. But it couldn't scale. It was asking way too much for me to look at every single piece of text and every single mention of anything in the graphics with the intention of having a search engine find it later. I did what I could, but I quickly moved on. There were much more important uses for my time, much more glad handling of different people's contributed collections to integrate them into textfiles.com. When I joined the Internet Archive, one of the more striking aspects was the OCR of all of the PDF files and other text-based information so that you could do full-text search on the archive for items that were there. If somebody uploaded everything from an Italian restaurant menu to a handbook on how to run a radio, you could search pretty well for all the different terms because they took the time to increase the findability of the items. You could go to a book with 300, 400 pages, and look for a phrase and find it immediately, be flipped right to that page, be able to read its context, be able to take a shot and present it in your own work so you could tell people the context of something you were looking for. It was, in a word, powerful. We had image recognition happening to various amounts over the past decade and a half. It's been unpredictable. Often, you could tell when there was a face in the video. You could recognize some people. You could definitely find out later if people were smiling or frowning, whether they were outside or inside. It was good. It wasn't great, but it was good. Flickr would have all sorts of ways of doing searches for the camera type or the type of images and be able to allow you to look through different keywords trying to find images that matched not the description, not the metadata, but the actual things in the image. And it would get things wrong. It would really get things wrong. So even if you didn't get any hits, you knew you might have to retry, maybe never find the thing you were looking for. In an ideal world, people have metadata for every single object they upload. In reality, we never come close. It becomes so much easier to drag a folder into an upload area, let it all do its work, and call it a day. With fingerprinting and other analysis techniques, we can figure out what piece of music is playing in the background. Maybe we can even do voice recognition and hear what people are talking about. But there's a lot of context lost when we do this. What we have now are improved techniques for doing image analysis. With a combination of these modern engines, it's now possible to build a sort of simulacrum of inferences, noticing that cars are from a certain era and that the person is wearing a certain outfit, and being able to say, this is a doctor parked in front of a hospital. That, to me, will have uses. So, let's assume, at the trajectory that we're working at, that we are going to have really good image analysis going forward. What will that serve? Well, like every tool, it's impossible to tell if somebody will use it for dark purposes or light, whether ethics will rule the day or whether we'll see the worst side of people being exacerbated by this new technology. Naturally, I am aware of darkness being the more likely outcome, but I do root for the light. I do wave the flag of good. Now, what good can come of image analysis? Being able to describe a certain kind of scene that you want evidence of and being able to find references to it, where it happens in the back of images or even video. Being able to search for a certain brand of computer or a part that you have, or finding a way to reference a place and finding photographs from that area, getting 100 or 200 images around a statue that's no longer there so that you can rebuild what it was to be able to study it or even use it in some sort of visual fashion. There are a lot of gaps in our history. There are places and people and events that lack a lot of publicly accessible images, but also have a lot of images simply unrecognized for what they are. With literally billions of images accessible out to the internet at large, finding different concepts and ideas and objects, and then synthesizing mosaics or responses based on that, is the future. Most of what I've been working on over the past decades is to bring as much analog material as possible into the digital realm, as intact as possible, to allow us to do things with them, to analyze them, to find stories within these images. From these images and these stories, we will concoct new stories, new narratives, new awareness. We will find evidence. We will check and track our facts. Will we create Frankensteins from it? No doubt. No doubt that we could do that before using clip art and Photoshop, paint programs and ink and even glue. But I have to hope that out of this cloud, this concern of the uncertain future of deep-level image analysis, we will come to a greater understanding and, aided by people with that goal, benefit immensely, or it all just goes south. Either way, we are going to have machines that describe it. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Sembiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. In many ways, advanced analysis of digital objects is the future that was hoped for by the amount of scanning, digitizing, and hosting of materials that I've done at textfiles.com, as well as all of the work of the Internet Archive. There sits, to me, an enormous amount of potential. I, of course, have very little faith that many people will do the right thing, whatever the right thing is. But building the skills to be skeptical, to ask questions, to verify, these are the survival techniques we've needed in the online world since the beginning. I just think, with some amount of hope, that all of the recent advancements will turn this from a pleasant side talent of a few to a hardened requirement and ability for all.